I'll tell you, today's sermon is one that's heavy on my heart. It's a hard sermon to preach. It's going to be hard for me to share because my heart's broken for a lot of people today. As you sing the song, I Must Tell Jesus, you can sing if you want with us, or if you just want to listen to the words, or if you just want to cry, you can cry. I know we have a lot of heavy burdens on our hearts today. I know there's a lot of difficult things that are going on. But no matter what we go through, our God is the God of the mountains, and He's the God of the valleys. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing this hymn, hymn 585, I Must Tell Jesus, hymn 585.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He always loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
If you have your Bible open today to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, looking at verse 3 through 4. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. The title of today's sermon is, How Can I Handle the Hurt? How can I handle the hurt? How can I handle the pain? How can I handle the suffering? Here's what God's Word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today, God. We acknowledge You're the one and only. You're the most powerful. You're the Creator, You're the Alpha, You're the Omega. And apart from You, God, we can't do anything. But Lord, there's struggles. There's hurts. There's pains in this world that we're suffering with today. And God, I pray that You would open our heart and help us to deal with those things, Lord. God, we've been hiding, we've been running long enough. We're here with our Creator, the one who loves us more than anything. Let us open our hearts to You, God, as You minister to us through Your Word. For it's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In the scripture we read today, Paul is praising God. He's thanking God for manifesting Himself in Jesus Christ. He's thanking Him for sending the Holy Spirit to be able to come and bless us. He's thanking God for comforting him in all his trials and tribulations that he's faced. He's thanking God for giving him the strength to endure, the boldness to conquer, and the strength and courage not to give up. As you know, Paul's been through a lot of tough things in his life. Paul's been through times where they tried to put out his ministry. He's been in times where they've tried to weaken him. They've tried to restrict him. They've even tried to crush his very life. Paul's been shipwrecked. He's been jailed. He's been beaten. He's been left for dead. But yet still, through all the tough times Paul's gone through in his life, he's able to write these words because he knew that no matter what, God would be able to comfort him and strengthen him, and that God would be with him in his time of need. Do you have that same confidence today that Paul had? when you go through tough times, when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations? Because if we're to be honest with ourselves, sometimes life can be harsh. Sometimes life can be really tough. Sometimes we have days in life that are just hard, and they're hard to even move on. Do you agree with that? There are things that take place in our life that we're not prepared to handle, that we don't have the strength to handle. But yet life keeps coming at us at a fast pace. Some days life is just hard. There's no other way to describe it. These past few weeks, there's been some things that have been going on in our church family that are just heart-wrenching. Our friend Chris Waller chops off part of his thumb while working on a woodworking project. Brother Gary, he's not even remembering people anymore. He's confused about who he is or who you are. And it turned out that they found out he was septic and now he's in St. Francis ER. Brother George's having difficulty seeing out of his good eye and out of his other eye having trouble with peripheral vision. If God doesn't step in and start healing him, we don't know how much longer he could be able to drive. And you know, he's the only one that's able to drive and take care of himself and Miss Carol. People are sick with a flu that's killing people. Amen. Sister Kathy has the flu. Lorene has the flu. Bill has the flu. Face out processing papers that she needs in order to be able to move forward are stuck in battalion. And they're not making the progress they're supposed to make, so her ETS date is in jeopardy. And her company may be deployed, her entire company, back over to South Korea. Just Thursday, Sister Leanna, we get a call and find out that she's had a stroke and she's in the hospital, Lewis's daughter. Then Friday, Brother Ron goes into the hospital for a pacemaker surgery. They put the pacemaker in. They glue him back together. Then one of the leads comes loose and they have to cut him back open and go through another 3-hour surgery and put him back together again. Tough things are happening. Brother Larry's had to deal with tough news in his family. His mom is having a tough time. His dad may have to go to a home soon. Things that are just crushing. Last night I got the news that my uncle Alex has brain cancer and a tumor the size of an apple in his skull. So I may be flying to Detroit soon. There are things that happen to us, folks, that are so hard to deal with. You have to ask yourself the question, what do we do in the middle of all this? What do we do in the middle of all this? How do we handle these things that are seemingly out of our control? Stuff that just happens in life that just is heartbreaking. How do we handle this? I mean, we know that God tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, that he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so, while all these bad things are happening, while all these tough things are going on in our life, what do? Well, we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And maybe God does give us that peace that transcends all understanding. He does give us a peace, but still there's our heart that's broken. There's still our heart that can't do anything but weep and cry. So what do? Well, today I want to talk about that. I want to address that topic that we've all felt in our life. A time of hurt, a time of sadness, in a time of suffering. How many people in our congregation today are going through a really difficult time or a tough time? Amen. Life's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like we're in the fire. Feels like we're dropped down in the middle of the battle. Sometimes we're just struggling with life and what we want is a way out. We just want the problems that we're dealing with to go away. We don't care how they go away. We just want them to be gone, don't we, if we're honest?
Yep.
We just want God to reach down, change the situation, and pluck us out and just rescue us.
Only in his time.
And sometimes God does. But other times we have to go through the situation. Notice I said through. Sometimes we just have to go through the situation. We have to go through the trial. We have to go through the tribulation. I can guess that David, he didn't want to be in the situation that he was in. I can guess that Daniel, he didn't want to be in the lion's den. I can guess that Joseph, he didn't want to be sold into slavery by his brothers. I can guess that Jonah probably didn't want to be swallowed by that great fish. All those people and many other people in the Bible had to go through difficult times, but you know what? They came out. They made it through. And you can make it through too. If you're going through one of those tough times today, I want to encourage you not to give up, but to stay the course. Now, I know it's easier said than done, but I know that you can make it. And you say, well, how do you know I can make it, Pastor? You don't know what I'm going through right now. Have you ever been in a situation where your mom has had a stroke and isn't recovering at the rate you'd hope for, and your dad might have to go into a home? Have you ever been in that situation, Pastor? Well, no, I haven't, Larry. But I know you can get through it because I know Jonah made it through. And because I know that Joseph made it through. And I know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those guys made it through. So I know that you can make it through. And you say, well, how can I make it through? Well, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, which you do, then you get a promise for Him. A beautiful promise. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says this: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise you can take to the bank. You can make this through it because you're not alone. God is willing to help you go through whatever it is that you're going through today. In the opening scripture, we read this from 2 Corinthians verse 3. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation. There's a divine purpose at work in your life today. There's a divine purpose at work in my life today. And that divine purpose begins with God. Paul calls Him this Father of compassion. I'm not a perfect father, but many years ago, I can remember my son, Josh. Shannon and I lived in a mobile home. We were hardworking. Both of us worked two jobs. That was the best we could afford. That was the best that we had. We drove this car that had gotten to an accident, barely ran, but it was provided by Deborah and her family, and so we thank you for that. So at the end of our days, we were tired. And so Josh comes along. He's a baby. What do babies do? Cry. They're beautiful, but they do a lot of crying. So we'd get time to put Josh to sleep. And what would happen was we'd go lay down Josh in the crib, and then Shannon would go lay down in her bed. She'd so tired. Shannon still to this day could fall asleep in less than 10 minutes. I'm talking sawing logs in less than 10 minutes. Oh, wow. Well, that doesn't work for me. So I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden I hear Josh start crying. And I think, put the pillow over your head, it'll go away. Let him cry himself to sleep. I look over at Shannon. She's done. So after a few minutes, he's not going to cry himself to sleep. So what do? I go to the crib. I pick up my son. I put his head against my chest. And I start patting his little butt. And I walk around our little mobile home. And I sing to him. I start singing Jesus Loves Me or whoever else knows whatever other songs I'm singing. And about 30, 45 minutes later, he falls asleep. I take him and I lay him back down in the crib. He goes to sleep. Then I go crawl in bed and snuggle up next to my wife and I fall asleep too. You know, I'm not a perfect father, but I do that for my son because I love him. How much more will our Father in heaven do to comfort us when we come crying to Him in our time of need? Jesus is our God of comfort. In verse 4, it says, He comforts us in all of our tribulation. All. Not some, not when he feels like it, not just a couple times, but it says all of our tribulation. You know what that means? It means when you're sick, he's there by your bedside. It means that when you run out of money and you're flat broke, he's sitting there in poverty with you. It means when you're hated and despised by the world, he's right there next to you. Say, hey, they hated and despised me. When you're sad and you're hurting, he's there listening to your prayers. And when you get to that time in your life where you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, his hand is holding you and bringing you through it. That's the kind of comfort. That's the kind of God we serve today. I don't think we ever discover the depth of God's compassion for us until we need it. Until we're in a situation where we need it. You know, 2 days ago was my dad's birthday. He was still alive. He would have been 62 years old. But he passed away when he was 50. Many of you know my dad, some of you don't. He had his flaws. But he was a great dad to me. He loved me. He loved my brother. He taught us right from wrong. He taught us good from bad. He cheered us on in every sport we're in. And if you knew my dad, you're going to think this is hilarious. My dad even became the president of the PTA for our band to support me because he loved me so much. Now, there was a fight, physical fight, between my dad and another guy at that time. But nevertheless, he became the president of the band so he could be so proud of his son who was honking away and squeaking, playing of all instruments, a clarinet. It's not a very manly instrument. Don't tell that to Kenny G, though. He might be offended. But my daddy loved us. He loved his wife. He loved my mom. He loved our family. But then when he was 37 years old or thereabout, he had a heart attack. He was transported to the hospital, went there, and his life was changed forever. Now, it took him a long time to get healed, but when he came out of that, I asked him a question a couple of years later. I said, Dad, seems like you're just different since you had that heart attack. And he said, well, you know, son, there's some things in life that'll really wake you up. He said, I just don't care about other things like I used to. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, like, material possessions? I almost died. They don't mean anything. Little things like getting the dishes washed before a company comes over? Who cares if there's dishes in the sink? He said, you know what? You'd be doing better if you were doing that too. Now, granted, he was living with Shannon and I at this time. He said, you should sell your house. You should sell your cars and all the stuff you own. And if you love Jesus, you should just go camp in some campground somewhere with your tent and camp there until you get kicked out and go camp somewhere else and just keep telling people about the Lord. Isn't that kind of what he did in the Bible? Forget about paying bills. Forget about your cars. Forget about your house. Forget about all that stuff. I said, well, Dad, that's a great idea, you know, but I'm not sure how Shannon would take that. But his point was that sickness, that heart attack, caused him to reevaluate his priorities. And I remember him one time telling me, he said, you know what? Sickness can sometimes be a blessing. Now, I think if you were to talk to Paul, Paul wouldn't say that, hey, having a heart attack is a great thing. But I think what Paul would tell you is that if you had a heart attack and it changed you for the good, then that's a great thing. If it changed the way you looked at life, if it changed your priorities, then that's a good thing. See, even through all that sorrow and all that hard time, God's comfort overwhelmed our sorrow. And so whatever you're going through today, I want you to know, one, that you're not going through it alone. Two, that God is there for you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. And the third thing I want to tell you is that you may be going through that tough time so that you can use the situation that you're going through to bless and help somebody else. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians verse 4. It says, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Paul looked at his sufferings. He looked at his deprivation. He looked at his being shipwrecked. He looked at it being left for dead, all those tough things. And he thought, you know what? Maybe God is doing something here that other people can benefit from, not just me. And you know what? Paul was right. Because I look at those stories and I think, if Paul did it, so can I. Because he was a man. He's no different than I am. And I'm a man, so I can do it too. But I want you to know that whenever you suffer, whenever you go through a trial, whenever you go through a tribulation, you never go through it alone. You never do. Somebody's always watching. Our friends, they want to see how strong your faith really is. Well, this person can showboat about how great they are a Christian and how much they love the Lord as long as they're getting a raise at work and they have money in the bank to buy gas and they're driving their car and everything else. But boy, I wonder how my friend's going to react when something bad happens. There's people watching you when you go through tough times. They want to know if what you say and you believe is really enough to get you through those hard times. Many of them are unbelievers. They wonder if Christ is real. They might have read the Bible. They might not have read the Bible. But they're looking at you to see how you're going to react when a hard time comes into your life. When malicious accusations get made about you. When you deal with a severe health problem in your family. When there's a loss of a job or end of a marriage. Or your financial success collapses. Or you have a career setback. They're in the shadows looking and seeing, how is that saint of God going to get along and live their life when they're going through something like this? That's exactly what Paul is talking about. Says our afflictions soften our hearts so that when we have received the comfort of God, it's easy for us to pass it along to someone else. Now, I don't know why you're going through the tough time you're going through today. I don't know why stuff happens. I wish I did. But I don't. But what I do know is at least two things. One, God's going through that storm with you. Don't ever doubt it. And two, God is going to use you in the future if you so shall choose to be able to comfort somebody else who's going through that same storm. Hard times, difficult times also show us God's power in prayer. In verse 11, Paul starts out the verse by saying, as you help us by your prayers. And I love that phrase because there's a word there that's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. And this Greek word means with, under, and work. It's what the Amish do when they're raising up a barn wall. What they do is they get under the frame, they lift it together, and they hold it up so that it can be put in place. And in the same way we join together, we lift the burdens of life and we pray for each other. After all, Galatians 6:2 tells us what? Bear one another's burdens and so you'll fulfill the law of Christ. You know, many times, if you're honest with yourself, and I hope you are, you probably use prayer as a last resort. Because you want to do something. Your people, you want to do something. You say, well, sure, I'll pray, but like, this person is sad. Why don't I just bake them a cake? Like, that'll make them happy. And then you bring them the cake and you find out, oh, they're diabetic. Fantastic. But in some ways, that's what we want to do. We were people. We want to do something. I'm like, I see Miss Alva hurting. I want to help her somehow. Well, I can give her a hug. That's nice. But really, I want to solve her problem. I want to make her problem go away because I love her. Well, if that's true, the best thing you could do is pray for her, not make her a cake. Because God's the only one that can help us with the kind of problems that we have sometimes. And through prayer, we unleash the power of heaven for the problems that we face here on earth. James 5:16 says it like this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You know, knowing others are praying for us helps us in our time of need, doesn't it? Anybody agree with that? You agree with that? Raise your hand. Somebody praying for you. Have you ever felt those prayers? You can't describe it how it feels, but I can tell you that when you're praying for somebody else, stuff happens. I believe that Leanna's delivered in the condition she's delivered today because people were praying for her. I believe that Brother Ron made it through that surgery successful, even if it was two times, because people were praying for him. Our prayers matter. Our prayers make a difference. You might not see the results right away, but let me assure you, God is working. In our main scripture that Paul shared in Corinthians, he closed by saying, when I thought I was going to die, you prayed and God delivered me. Church, I don't think we'll ever know how much other people's prayers had mattered until maybe we get to heaven. You see, you might have given up on some situation, but somebody prayed for you. You might have made a stupid decision, but somebody prayed for you to be home safe. You may have given into a temptation, but somebody prayed for you. You might have been retaliated, but someone prayed for you. You might have crumbled under pressure, but someone prayed to you. You might have given up everything, all your morals, everything, but somebody prayed for you and helped you to stay where you're at. God uses the prayers of others to enable us to make this journey from earth to heaven. It's a tough journey. And without those God-inspired prayers, I think sometimes we'd never make it. So I want to share one more thought as I close today. I know life is tough. Jesus knew life was going to be tough. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent that Comforter. If you think your life is tough, and I'm sure it is, I'm not downplaying it. But think about how rough Jesus' life was. I mean, he knows about what tough life is. Jesus never promised, and I want you to hear this. Jesus never promised you that he would deliver you from what you're dealing with. It's never promised. But he does promise you that he will go through whatever you're going through with you. It never promises he's going to deliver you. But he does promise that, you know what, when you're going through that trial, I'll be there with you. I'm not going to let you down. When hard times come, first we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Because the truth is, only he can understand. Only he can comfort us. Only he can give us peace. Second, when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ hurting, we need to go and try to encourage them if we're able to. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you're hurting, you have a choice. You can either hurt with God or you can hurt without God. And I'm telling you, it's much better to suffer with God than to suffer without him. And you can either hurt by yourself or you can hurt with other people of God. As God gave us comfort through hard times, he's equipped us to do the same thing. It really is the very essence of Christianity, right? It goes from God to us and to us through others. And then they, in turn, look back to God. It's a beautiful circle. Folks, I want you to know there are people, there are situations that your friends, your family, people at work have went through that only you can help them with. I'm not going to be able to help them with it. I haven't been there. I haven't done that. Only you're going to be able to help them with it. And if you don't help them with it, who's going to help them with it? There might be a situation in your life where somebody you know needs a word of encouragement and only you know how to give them that word. You're the only person. God sends you. There might be some people in your life that are staggering with a heavy load and you're the only one that can help them carry that burden. There might be some people in your life that they're about to quit, they're about to throw in the towel, they're done with it all. But you can come in and give them one word of encouragement and get them right back on that train track. These people that need a word of encouragement from you are all around. Some are even in our sanctuary today. Brothers and sisters, if you raised your hand today and you said that you are going through a hard time or a hard trial, I want you to come up here and just pray to God. Don't be shy. Who cares what your neighbor thinks? Who cares what I think? Who cares what anybody else says? I want you to come up here and say, you know what, God? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to take a step forward. I'm going to come to this altar. I'm going to come up to these front pews, and I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to pour my heart out to you because you're the only one that can help me. I'm going to tell you about all my pain. I'm going to tell you about all my problems. I'm going to tell you about every single hurt that I'm dealing with, God, because you're the only one that can help. Ask him. Say, God, I want you to show me. The pastor said, you'll walk with me. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. So show me you're in the battle with me. Show me that you haven't gave up on me, God. I want to see you today. Go ahead, come to the altars right now. You can come. You've been dealing with this problem long enough. You've been waiting long enough. It's time to just come down here and say, God, this is yours. I'm your child. I love you. I need your help, Lord. Come on down. You don't have to wait for anything. It's time for you to just come down and talk to God about it. He wants to take that problem from you. He wants to take that burden from you because He loves you more than I ever could, more than that person next to you ever could. Stop dealing with it yourself and just give it to Him. Yell, scream, do whatever you got to do, but say, God, I can't handle it anymore. I need your help. Psalm 55:22 says it like this: cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. There's still time to come. And as people are coming, I want you to know that if you didn't raise your hand today, if your life is going well, if you are happy with the way things are going in life, let the Lord speak to your heart, because maybe God is telling you there's somebody down here at the altar today that only you can pray for, that only you can touch. And maybe God is telling you, even though you're not going through a trial, maybe you need to come down here and just put your hand on one of these people that's hurting today and say, God, help them. I don't know what they're going through, but God, help them. Maybe God is calling you to do that today. That is what ministry is all about, folks. Laying our burden at the Lord's feet, trusting God to help us, and helping our fellow brothers and sisters pray for us. You want to see ministry? This is what it's all about. Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord in heaven, some days we feel are too hard. We're hurting. We're struggling. We're fighting fear and worry at every turn, God. Thank you in the midst of it all that you haven't left us to fend for ourselves. Forgive us for doubting you there, Lord. Forgive us for thinking that you've forgotten us. Forgive us for believing that somehow we know better than you. You're fully trustworthy. You are all powerful. You're able. You're the Lord of every situation, God, no matter how difficult it might seem. You're the healer, and you never waste the grief that we bear before you today, God. And so, Lord, we just ask you for your comfort to surround those that weep. We pray for the peace, the presence to come over our minds and our thoughts. Lord, as you remind us, the enemy can never steal us out of your hands. He has never has the final say over our life. Only you do, Lord. We're kept safe in your presence, and your thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. We lay it all down at your feet, every burden, every care, believing that's the safest place for us to be. We love you, Lord, and we need your fresh grace. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray these things, Lord. Amen. Lord, help the people, God. Time to come and pray if you want to come and pray.